Hi guys, this is Jeff. We're interrupting our normal schedule for a midweek special. What follows is an interview that Book Riot's own Ed McCracken did with Neil Gaiman recently at the Edinburgh Book Festival. We'll be back with a regular episode as scheduled this weekend, but thanks as always for listening. Enjoy.
Welcome to a special edition of the Book Riot podcast from the Edinburgh International Book Festival. I'm Ed McCracken, but more importantly, I'm with Mr. Neil Gaiman. How are you, Neil?
I'm very good, Ed.
Very good. Thanks for joining us.
You are so welcome.
So I've got a few questions from some book writers. I'm going to do it in a very rapid-fire style, so should be about seven or eight of them. So we have Kirsty Miller, who asks, Mr. Gaiman, we're all very polite.
Oh, good.
You use the last name of Hemplock for characters in Stardust, The Graveyard Book, and Ocean at the End of the Lane. Are these characters connected in any way?
They're related. I think it's kind of explained a little bit at the end, in the last chapter of The Ocean at the End of the Lane. But really, what was going on was I invented the Hemstock family, the one who lives in the farm, or the ones who live in the farm, when I was a kid. I was about nine. And by the time I was in my teens, they were called the Hemstocks. And then I kept meaning to write a story with them in, but I never did. So occasionally I would have a family, and I go, okay, you're distant relations. You don't know it, but you're related to the Hemstock family. So Daisy Hemstock in Stardust, Liza Hemstock, the witch, seemed like a perfect person to be related. So yes.
Cool. Eric Rossum wants to know, Mr. Gaiman, what is your best advice for gaining and keeping a loyal fan base like yours, aside from writing great books?
Honestly, I don't think you have to do anything more than write books and things that people like. You could have the best fan base in the world, but if you give them books they don't like, they'll go away. People are gloriously fickle. They're not, you know, they don't read my books and enjoy my books because they like my Twitter feed. You know, they might come to my Twitter feed and go, okay, I'll read one of his books. Then they go, he's rubbish. But they're not going to keep reading them. So, yeah, you write good stuff. Write stuff that people will like. Write stuff that tells them things they don't know or takes them places they've never been.
Okay, I've got another question here, which is one I'm also quite keen to find out about. Will you be writing for Doctor Who again? And that's Hilda Alvarez Strang is asking.
I hope so. The problem right now is just time. It's not that I don't want to write for them. It's not that they don't want me to write for them. It's that I just spent 11 weeks on the road with The Ocean at the End of the Lane, and I'm now 11 weeks behind in my life and in my writing, and that probably is the 11 weeks that I would have written a first and possibly a second draft of a new Doctor Who episode in. So I'm sure I will write another episode. As long as they will have me, I will write another episode, but I cannot guarantee when.
And Peter Capaldi as Doctor?
And he's wonderful. Peter played the Angel Islington in the BBC adaptation of Neverwhere that I did. I say adaptation, it was the original, in 1996. And I remember talking to Peter on the phone about Islington, about how he should play him, about what was going on. He was the only one of the cast who ever just sort of came to me and said, talk to me about this. And he impressed me then as being an incredibly smart man, incredibly fine actor. He's also a very good director. He just won, I mean, people forget, Peter Capaldi had won an Academy Award with his film Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life. He's so smart.
Franz. Alistair Vieira would like to know when American Gods 2 is coming out.
Well, after I've written it. Probably about 8 months after I've written it.
Okay. Sorry, just take the taxis arrived just when you're ready.
Okay, cool. Two more questions.
Great.
Okay. Michelle Cantos would like to know, how do you select the names for your characters?
Either incredibly easily or incredibly difficult, bloodly, leady. They either sort of turn up with names attached, which I love, which is great, or they turn up and they don't have a name, at which point I will do that thing of desperately inspecting in my head every name I encounter, every name I ever have encountered, everything I encounter. I start looking around rather desperately, going, Mr. Chair, there are chairs here. Could it be Mr. Chair? No, I don't think Bill Chair really works. Bill Wall, how about Wall? Bill Stone, Bill Paving Stone. Paving Stone's a really good name. No, Paving Stone's a rubbish name. Tree. I get desperate like that. And then I never forget about it. I never stop thinking about it. And then at some point I go, there's the name. It's always easier when they turn up with a name, or even if you get the name first.
Okay, and finally, David Monteith would like to know, what's the best, in your opinion, story idea you've never wrote?
Ah, what a great question. You know, the trouble with the best story ideas that I've never written is I always figure that one day I will, and there's this faint hesitation. But I the one that I've always wanted to do as a short children's novel or something, which I don't think it's an adult novel because it's too silly, but I do want to do, is the one about the chair that gets bitten by a werewolf, and at the full of the moon, this chair gets hairy and goes out and kills people.
Is it called Werechair?
Of course it will be called Werechair. And I haven't written Werechair. Really ought to.
Grand. Well, thank you very much, Neil. Much obliged.
You are so welcome.